Imagine a space for South Asian women where stories are not just told, but actually felt. This is Rue, Rising Over Obstacles and Healing, brought to you by Jyoti and Monica, two friends who set out to carve a little space and make a difference by sharing stories and fostering healing and strength within our community. We invite you to listen and reflect, finding your own path one story at a time. And just for sticking around, there's a golden biscuit at the end of each episode. Hi, so today we're just going to do something a little bit different. Monica, I want to know, what are your thoughts about our previous episode, about Asha's story? What did you think?
Well, first off, what a powerful story. Right?
Yeah.
You know, just hearing about her, the way she was able to describe everything and to find out that she was diagnosed with cancer at the age of 39 with two young daughters.
Yeah.
You know, that was it was a shock. But I want to say my main from one of the many golden biscuits, like we like to say here, that I really took. And I feel like it really, the reason I took it to heart was I've been feeling this way recently for a while. And to hear a female or a woman actually take those actions, when she said she realized there were a lot of stress factors in her life and things, your everyday routine that has you set back priorities for yourself, your healthcare, emotional, mental, physical, everything, and how she really prioritized that. That was something that I really wanted to take into action and do, because I say it, I think of it, but do I actually do it? No.
Yeah. You know, and it's interesting that you say that, because I took the same for me from her story. And like you and I both, I mean, we're actually talking about it for the first time now.
Yeah.
I think there were many, many golden biscuits, like we were saying, like the key takeaways from her story. But what keeps coming back to me is, here's a woman. She's a modern age young woman, educated here. She didn't think she had any stress in her life. She, like she said, she had a healthy marriage. She had a great job. Everything was going well. And she didn't think there was any stress. And I think a lot of times that's how we feel as well. We're just, you know, so entrenched in our day-to-day life.
Right.
That we don't think that we're just constantly go, 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 go.
It's also our definition of stress, right? Like when you think of, when I say stress to you, what do you think? Like you're mentally feeling upset and angered, right? And something's making you depressed and like worrisome. It's not your everyday tasks that are adding on to your mental load that we define as stress.
Absolutely.
Which is, because think of it, it's something you need to do. It's something you are reminded of having to do. You know, our definition of stress, you can have many versions of it, right? Yeah. Like we don't ever define it as tasks that need to be done, because we get ingrained with having to do these things and we're so used to it. And of course, you know, you're like, oh, sometimes you think of it like, oh, I'm tired. There's so many things to do. But you never really think that those everyday routines and things you need to do are stressful.
Oh, yeah. That's what I meant when I said that, you know, it truly was a wake-up call.
Right.
To actually hear Asha's story was a wake-up call in itself to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like you said, you're just so busy day to day. Wake up the kids, get them ready for school, get their lunches packed, feed them breakfast, take them to school.
Yeah.
I mean, gosh, before the day even begins, your work day, sometimes I feel like I've already done a day's worth of work.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, 100%. Because you're like, you need to get the work done before you get to work, whether you're a stay-at-home mom or someone who's working.
Yeah.
Right? Like, as soon as your day starts, it's mostly, well, you have to get yourself ready, but also you're getting the day ready for everyone else in your family.
Exactly.
And you're making sure that goes well and that's smooth. So then automatically you kind of put a little hold on yourself, because I know for me, I was like, I'll get to it. I'll get to it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as much as we say it is stressful, it's hard, you know, your little kids, your children aren't going to be able to take care of themselves.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, what she pointed out also when she saw the doctor and the doctor said, what do you think caused this? And when she thought about it, she said, I think it's stress. Stress is something we hear about a lot.
Yeah.
we're always stressed out. We don't think that the stress is amounting to anything. Mm-hmm. We don't realize that stress can actually manifest into real symptoms and cause real health issues, real problems. We just, because we don't see it, it's not tangible, it's not a test result, it's not something that can be measured in terms of like you go to the doctor, you can't really be like, hey, so can you tell me like how stressed I am?
Yeah, like and those things are usually self-tests. Like you're supposed to fill out the questionnaire as if like, you know, that number or whatever it is going to give you the answer. When you said like how stress is kind of, you know, at the forefront of all these diseases, like new studies show the reason women have most autoimmune diseases is because of all the stress. The stress causes inflammation within our bodies,
yeah,
which leads to all these different diseases.
Exactly, exactly. So now that we've identified, and it's interesting that you and I both sort of honed in on the same idea, right, as far as what we took away, mm-hmm, from Asha's story, how do we address stress, right? We know stress is an issue, and we've talked about it doesn't even have to be a situation, a scenario that you're extremely worried about that's causing you stress in the present at the moment. It could just be your day-to-day routine, what you're doing from morning till night.
Yeah, the lifestyle created. Like you may not intentionally have created this lifestyle, but it happens. And then sometimes you just have to take a little step back and analyze and see like what time of the day am I calm? What time of the day am I heightened? When am I feeling happy, relaxed, or tensed and tired? And figure out what it is that you're doing or what's causing that. A lot of times I know there are some precursors that lead me into feeling anxious or irritated. And now I'm really consciously making those efforts to kind of pause myself and be mindful of when I'm going to feel like that and kind of just stop, calm myself down. And it doesn't take long. You don't need to go into your room and close the door. Like sometimes, like for me personally, it's just like canceling out my thoughts. Like, cause, you know, you're doing your everyday things, mundane tasks, and you're bound to, your mind's not going to turn off, right? It's going to think of this, that, who said that to me? What do I need to do? You know, what happened maybe 10 years ago, right? Which doesn't even matter, but it comes up.
Yeah.
And then you just have to be like, wait, hold on. I don't need this thought right now. I need to just be present and whatever it is I'm doing right now, be focused on that.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. And she mentioned so many things that she's doing now, mm-hmm, in her life to address the stress and to lead a better life. And from everything that she mentioned, just to kind of remind you, right, mm-hmm, she mentioned taking time out for herself, right, in terms of exercising, meditating, mm-hmm, taking time to interact with her friends and have regular, like badminton, I think is what she said that they were, they're playing badminton together. Mm-hmm. How important that is for your health, right?
Right.
To alleviate some of the stress. Mm-hmm. Why is it that it takes a diagnosis such as cancer for us to finally take that step and to do those things?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking too. Like the fact that you said that, because I was like, here I am hearing her story. And, you know, unfortunately, like you said, it took that diagnosis.
Yeah.
So us as listeners, we should take this as a gift that, hey, we have this chance now.
Yeah.
Like, let's make these changes before it ever gets to something like that.
Absolutely.
Right. And they can be small little steps. Like now, usually sometimes I honestly look forward to my afternoon coffee. Right. Instead of it being like, oh, it's something I need to do, I need to drink. I'm like, no, this is my 5-10 minutes. It's something I look forward to. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to sit down. And when you have something to look forward to in your day, it can be the smallest little thing. It just makes you happy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. For me, I know one of the biggest ways that I relieve stress, and again, as I'm saying this, I'm thinking for an outsider looking in, mm-hmm, they're probably like, what kind of stress does she have?
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Like, and that's the whole point, mm-hmm, is that I think we all have stress, right? It's whatever it could be. The way that I handle it is, mm-hmm, I have to start my day with a walk in the morning. It's extremely important for, mm-hmm, me. It's a non-negotiable for me. Mm-hmm. So you will see, and I'm sure you've seen many times, even if it's rain or shine, it could be minus 10 degrees outside, mm-hmm, I will just put on extra layers and I will go for that walk because to me, that's my time to just sort of be outside, to just let go of thoughts that I might be holding on to just have that me time and just to kind of prepare myself for the day.
Yeah.
So I've found a way to just get that time in no matter what.
Yeah.
So for me, I know that during the day, I have all of this stuff scheduled that I need to get done. I will sometimes put those tasks off and still make time for that walk.
See, that's great because I feel most of us will be like, no, no, those tasks need to prioritize and not what I need.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And I think the reason I do this is because I noticed, obviously, as a health coach, you know, I do pay particular attention to health and I cannot stress enough, emphasize, maybe stress is the wrong word. I cannot emphasize enough how stress is so bad for your health, right? It's just, it manifests into so many different like real symptoms and, and issues later. So I think because I've always been mindful of this, this is why walking is non-negotiable for me. I've just noticed that it makes me feel better. On days that I am able to get my walk in, I function better. I think better. I have my, I've noticed that even like my thoughts that I have, you know, creative thoughts, they come to me when I'm walking.
Wow.
So because I've actually seen the difference that it's made in me, it's a non-negotiable for me.
That was going to be my question. I was going to ask, like, how did you figure this was your thing? Was, did it start off as a fitness, a me time, something you just thought you had to do? And it made you realize that this is your thing?
Yeah, so it's interesting because it actually started out as not even thinking about mental health. It was mostly physical. I had a few extra pounds that I wanted to get rid of. And I thought, okay, you know, and it was actually my husband who said, exercise in the morning. When you're trying to work out after work in the evening, you have to convince your mind and your body to be able to do it and to do it regularly. So he, you know, is a great guy, very wise, I must say. And, you know, but that's something I don't always listen to him. In this case, I did.
It worked
out. And I thought, because he's like, you know, in the morning, you're just convincing your mind.
Yeah.
Your body's not tired in the morning. Your day is just starting. So if you do this in the mornings, you are more likely to stick to it. And I, you know, listened, took it to heart, started because I had a few extra pounds to lose. And once I lost the weight, I just kept going because of the way it made me feel. So it became, and, you know, I will say this to a lot of people will say, well, we see you walking all the time. That's probably why you're in good shape. No, I'm in a good mental space because of that. But my physical health, as far as how a person looks, is not necessarily just from exercise. You know, 20% of how I look is based on exercise. And the other 80% is food and what you eat and what you're putting into your body.
And how you feel.
And how, exactly. So that's how it started. And from there, it's just because of the way it made me feel, I just continued. And I would just urge everyone listening to just sit back, think about what makes you happy. What is something that relieves stress for you? Whether it's going out for a walk or it's that cup of coffee, like you mentioned. Or if it's going out and just playing a sport.
Playing a sport. For me, something I learned after, so after I had my son, I went to work for a few months and then I had to leave. And the one thing I missed, I didn't realize until I probably didn't get out of the house probably for another week or two. And I was alone in my car, was driving with the music on. When I was sitting there, I was like, how much do I miss this? I used to have a long commute to work, but I actually looked forward to that because it used to be me time. You know, it was a beautiful drive. I was fortunate. I would go early, early in the morning, so I'd catch the sunrise. It would just be me listening to my music, or sometimes I'd have any kind of religious songs on. And that's what I missed. So, you know, they there have been days when it was really stressful at home or just, you know, so busy that I didn't have time. I'd be like, you know what? I'm going to go do groceries or some kind of errand now because it gets me in my car and I'm just cruising.
With the music on.
With the music on or something.
Yeah.
So,
you know, it's these little things that we don't even realize what an impact these things have on your mental health.
Oh, yeah.
The other thing, too, is if, let's say, your cholesterol was high, everyone knows what to do, okay? Cut out the fat, eat less eggs, or I guess maybe not. But nowadays, now they're saying eggs are actually not bad if you have high cholesterol, so never mind. But you generally, you know, like, okay, this is what I need to do to address my cholesterol issue, right? Or you need to take, maybe you need to take some sort of medicine to keep it under control. When someone is stressed, first of all, you don't even realize you're stressed. Second of all, nobody's going to come to you and say, okay, you're stressed. Here's the prescription.
Yeah.
Here's the medicine for it. Yeah. You have to find it yourself. And then once you know what it is, treat it like it's a prescription. You know, like if it's going out and having a cup of coffee with a friend, I think we can all make time for it. A lot of times we just say, no, I'm sorry, I don't have the time. I'm sorry, I have to look at my schedule. But you know what? It's an hour, right? If we really try, we can take an hour out of our time.
Oh, yeah.
And just say, no, this is for my mental health. I need to do this. I'm going to do this.
Yeah. And honestly, start off small. When you're going to go pick up your kids or drop them off, use the extra 5-10 minutes for yourself for something. Again, like a walk, a chat with someone you know. Or, you know, I take my kids to a lot of extracurricular activities. And then again, that's like the rush of getting them ready, going to somewhere. But what I do is when they're there, I do something for myself because I'm going to be there anyways.
Yeah.
Right. So might as well use that time. Like sometimes I have a book with me. Sometimes I walk. Sometimes when they're in their religious studies, I use that time to just be quiet and meditate or just to sit there in silence. You know, you have to find whatever surrounding or environment you're in to be like, what can I do for myself right now? And it doesn't have to be spending money, going somewhere, you know, even doing something. Like just take that time to just relax.
Yeah. You know, there are so many takeaways from Asha's story that I think are actually proven to have great effect on your health, right? So connection is important. Right. Having that one person, you know, it doesn't have to be a whole group of friends, but just having connection with another human being, right? Where, you know, and it doesn't have to be someone from your family, preferably not your family, because then you can't vent. Especially if your family is the source of your stress, you can't really vent to your, you know, having that one buddy.
Yeah.
Like how often have you and I spoken, talked to each other?
Oh, yeah.
And then we've joked with each other that I should just pay you since you're my therapist.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because talking to a friend and just navigating day-to-day life, if you're able to talk it out with that one person, it does wonders.
It does. Sometimes all you want is an ear, right? Yeah. Like I don't, it's great to get advice and things like that, but sometimes you don't really want to hear the commentary that comes along with it or just, you don't even realize it sometimes that you need to say it. You just meet that person. You're like, oh, well, this happened, right? And then it's said, it's done when it's out.
Yeah, exactly. And once it's out, then you're not thinking about it for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
You know, so listeners, go out and find that one person. For Jyoti, it's Monica.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's Jyoti for you, Monica.
It is.
and truth be told, it was during one of our venting sessions when we thought we need to do a podcast.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
So great things come out of just venting with that one friend of yours. And the other thing that she had mentioned, which I think we often neglect, is spirituality. Having time to meditate.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be daily.
No.
In her case, it was once a week that she goes, and she had said it's sort of a non-negotiable for her. She goes in the morning. She has that 1 hour and she just meditates. I think that's something that you keep hearing as well. What is meditation? I honestly, until I started meditating, I didn't even realize what meditation was because I don't think anyone's ever explained it.
Okay. See, I grew up with it a lot.
Oh,
like it was something that was really spoken about. But the way it was almost spoken about was that it's something very hard to do, to concentrate, you know, to stay still and to focus. And I remember the first time I actually got into it, it was led by someone and it was just so relaxing.
Yeah.
You know, growing up, it was always told like it had to lead to something. There was a focus, right? Mm-hmm. But this was just releasing. Yeah. And also as I'm getting older and I'm learning more about it, it's not a religious thing. Like meditation is breathing techniques.
Yeah.
There's all these apps now that I use sometimes just to do relaxed breathing, mm-hmm. controlled breathing, mindful breathing, right? Which helps you really settle down and, you know, get in tune with your body.
Yeah.
Right? Like sometimes, I don't know if you've ever done it, but you know, they'll be like, close your eyes, relax. And you're like, they'll be like, focus on your heart, focus on your fingers. When do we ever do that in our every day to day?
We don't.
Right?
It's go, go, go mentality. Yeah. We don't. We don't sit down and put enough emphasis on self-care.
Yeah.
I guess you can call it. I would say meditation is like self-care.
Yeah.
I remember the first time, same thing, like the first time that I meditated, it was in a group setting and it was led by someone. I cried.
Yeah.
I just don't even know. Yeah. I didn't even know why
the
I was
crying. The tears just came flowing, right?
But could you imagine? I mean, maybe there was something just pent up inside that I was releasing without really even realizing, right? So there are many, many, many takeaways from Asha's story. We all understand. I'm pretty sure when she mentioned all of the things that she started doing, we realized how important they are. The whole purpose of this episode is to just sort of dissect it all and see how we can incorporate all these little biscuits into our day-to-day lives. I guess, Monica, you know, you can share what you feel would be the best course of action or how to address one of the takeaways. Mine will always, always, always be go for that walk.
Go for the walk.
Anyone
I like that.
Anyone that knows me, that knows me knows that
Haven't we joked about you sometimes?
Yes.
Here we are preaching about it. And yet, you know, in a fun way, because, well, that's the thing. You're known for that. And isn't that great?
Yeah. Right? No, I mean, but it's just make time, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, however long that you can take out of your day. Trust me, even if you think your day is jam packed from morning to night, wake up 5 minutes early and just go for a 5 minute walk. Wake up 10 minutes earlier, go for a 10 minute walk. There's a saying that you can't pour from an empty cup.
Yeah.
And when you're constantly busy from morning to bedtime, you're not taking any time out for yourself. You're draining that cup. As you incorporate some time for yourself, you're refilling it.
Yeah.
Right? And you're able to then show up better for your family. Mm-hmm. Once you understand this concept, I think we would try to do better. In terms of when you know that in order to take the best care of your kids, in order to show up and be the best partner for your husband or the best daughter for your parents, you have to be in the best state of mind yourself. So if you are taking care of yourself, you can take better care of others.
Yeah, I know this isn't the first time we've all heard these. And I'm just, you know, trying to think from a different perspective because, you know, both you and I have been there, young kids.
Yep.
You know, our kids are a little bit older now, so they're a bit more independent. But I'm just picturing now a mom struggling with little kids and saying, no, I don't have the time. I don't. And we get it. We understand. But, you know, I think it's just really just letting go of some things and maybe figuring out, like, maybe this isn't important today. Like you said, it can wait until tomorrow. Let me just fit in something for myself today, you know, and like, hopefully it is something physical, like a walk or, you know, any exercise, something that is that you used to do that you miss.
Yeah.
But always start off small. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be a huge goal. And at the end, whatever it is that we're doing now, we're really going to see the benefits in 5 years, 10 years. Right. So think of it like what I'm inputting now is what really is, how do I want to see myself in 10 years, in 15 years?
Exactly. You know, there was something that I had read, which I thought was very interesting, was that what you're doing now and what you're eating now in terms of like your exercise, your diet, you're going to see in 30 years from now.
Yeah.
Right? So where we are at this stage in our lives, 30 years from now, hopefully we would be retired. And at that point, do we want to be bedridden? Mm-hmm. Do we want to not have any energy? Do we, you know what I mean? Right. Like when we're in our 60s or 70s, you know, we want to be able to enjoy our grandkids.
Right.
We want to be able to walk around, not have ailments, right? Yeah. And, you know, understanding that stress can create these ailments and how we address them now, or how we address stress rather now, and the steps that we take now, we will see the payout in the future.
Yeah. And listen, I am the prime example of someone who cancels her doctor's appointments because, oh no, someone got sick at home or someone else has their appointment at the same time and things like that, right? So I also feel like one of the other takeaways from this, yes, given her age, she was 39, so she probably wasn't due for any kind of ultrasound, mammogram, or checkup, but please, please get those appointments in.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Do that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You know, and let's not fall behind on that.
Yeah, fall behind. And one thing I learned, so I recently went and the doctor just booked my appointment a year in advance. Mm-hmm. And what she said was, when I have my patients booked, they are much more likely to come in.
Oh,
and
yeah.
if they don't come in that day, because of course, within a year, something's going to happen, they will call to reschedule. Mm-hmm. So they need to come in and they know it has to be done.
You know,
and as I'm preaching.
No, not even that. I'm not thinking that. As you're saying this, I'm just thinking, I just got a clear call to action in my head as you're saying this.
Yeah.
Because Asha also said this, that she schedules her Pilates in advance.
Yeah.
She schedules the badminton games in advance.
Right.
Right. And it goes exactly with what your doctor said as well. If it's scheduled in advance, you're more likely to show up. So for the next week, let's all look at our schedules. Everyone, all the ladies listening, look at your schedule for the week and pencil in a few things that you would like to do for yourself.
Yeah.
That's our call of action to you today. When you listen to this, open up your schedule, whether it's on your phone or you still carry a planner, whatever it is that you do, look at it and pencil in what you can do. Whether it's a walk or coffee with a friend, dinner, lunch with a friend, whatever it is, make 2 to 3 entries in your schedule. And again, it could be 5 minutes, it could be 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It could be an hour if, you know, whatever your time allows. Do it and then actually follow through. Once it's scheduled, it's you've set reminders, follow through and take care of yourself. Self-care is extremely important. I'm sure Asha's story highlighted that for everyone.
Yeah.
And then actually, you know, send us an email at rutheraz@gmail.com and tell us what you penciled in.
Yeah. Again, it's, we want to hear how you felt after you got, you know, done with what it is you wanted to do and how did it encourage you to continue.
Exactly. So it's again, rohdaraz@gmail.com. So we are going to be looking forward to seeing those emails and seeing how people de-stress and what it is that, you know, you decided to do.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have a listener who would want to be on an episode and they can share if they were someone like Asha who, you know, made some changes and what impact they've seen in their life.
Yeah, yeah, actually, you know, I feel like her story was so important in the sense that, it was a wake-up call to her, but to all of us listening. I've had many people tell me, oh gosh, I just scheduled a mammogram.
Yeah, so this morning, my mom called me after she listened to the episode when it was aired last night, and that's the first thing she told me. She goes, did you schedule this? Are you going to your doctors? Are you doing that? Like checking up on your family, right? Sometimes, of course, self-care, but also checking up on those around you.
Yeah. And again, also, you know, one of our friends, I don't know if you heard this when she was mentioning, we were both together, I think, when she said, thanks to you guys, I now do self-exams.
Oh, yeah, I was there.
So Asha, if you're listening to this episode, we genuinely thank you for coming on and sharing your story because you are inspiring many, many, many women. And with that thought, we will be back next week with another story.
Thank you for listening to Rue. We appreciate you joining us as we cultivate a community of strong, empowered women, one story at a time. If you or someone you know has a story you'd like to share, please contact us at ruedaraz@gmail.com. That's ruedaraz@gmail.com. Also, do us a favor and please share this podcast with your sisters, your mom, your friends, aunties, your eyebrow lady, like any lady you know. You know, you get the idea. Till next time, kush raho, be well.